From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. 5 years ago, television viewers around the world were glued to their screens by something called shock and awe. That was how the U.S. military was describing the massive aerial bombardment of targets in Baghdad, part of the American invasion of Iraq. Few people had a better view of it than NPR's Anne Garrows. She was at the Palestine Hotel in central Baghdad, reporting on the invasion with help from her Iraqi driver, Tahir Yunus. They returned to the hotel this week to reflect on the invasion and its aftermath.
Neither of us had been in the Palestine Hotel in years. After the U.S. invasion, it became a target for insurgents. A truck bomb nearly brought it down. The remaining journalists living there moved out. With improved security, it's now open for business again, though the manager, Mr. Ali, says it's a shadow of its heyday.
Before 4 months, not doing too much guests here. We hope more guests in the future.
Most European journalists pulled out of Iraq at the urging of their governments because so many of them had been kidnapped. But as we walk in, a French journalist steps out of the elevator.
We're back, yes, after 3 years and a half. We wanted to come back for a long time.
My old room, 1130, is untouched by time. It's still like a cave. The same shabby blue curtains open onto the balcony where Tara and I spent endless hours watching the bombing. As we stand there 5 years later, Tara recalls the day the Marines arrived in Baghdad. We'd just found some decent food, but the meal was abandoned.
I remember when we want to start to eat, we heard the heavy sound of the tanks.
Tar wept then, and not with joy. He was overwhelmed with confusion and fear for the future.
I never imagined they will enter to Baghdad and collapse the regime. Shocked me.
Tar had no love for the old regime. Though a Sunni, like Saddam, he was thrown out of the military because he refused to get involved in their illegal financial transactions. But he resented foreigners occupying his country, and he resented it even more when the Americans were unable to secure Iraq.
The nothing always that's... The name of the war is liberation of Iraq. But really the hope was coming, they will establish a new police. But what's happened is really different. You know, Iraq was under one command. Now how many command we have? How many parties we have?
To Tar's despair, the country is now ruled by bitterly divided Shiite religious parties, which he believes are beholden to Iran.
How America allowed to put religious command belong to Iran? And at the same time, Iran is enemy for America. This is the question. So it's better to leave us for the ex-regime. At least no militias, no assassinations. How many people killed for nothing? We lose everything.
Including self-respect. For Tar, the years since the invasion have been hard. He worked for a while for Japanese journalists, but because of the growing dangers, they joined the growing exodus. A graduate of the military academy under Saddam and a former officer, Tar tried to join the new army, anxious to serve his country again.
They rejected me, and I tried 3 times. We was looking for new army, but they never used us. But now we know that the reason is sectarian. So according to my tribe name, I think they are rejected me.
He's been forced to work as little more than a laborer delivering foodstuffs to stores. He's mortified.
This is not our dreams.
Today, he proudly wears his suit. It rarely gets any use these days. When he works now, he wraps his head in a tribal headscarf.
To hide my face because I don't want anyone saw me.
2 years ago, his neighborhood of Al-Hadra, almost exclusively Sunni, was overrun by Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda entered to our area under a Sunni name, fighting the occupation forces. They shift the violence to innocent people. They make assassinations, they make looting, they make killing under very simple excuse, very stupid excuse. Like if they catch anyone smoke, they torture him. They start to finance. It's like self-finance. by kidnapping people and getting ransom.
He recalls the morning when a man suddenly banged on his door.
I opened the door and I found the old man crying, "Please, my son, protect me. He is Shi'i." I pull him inside.
The Shiite man had been kidnapped with his son by Sunni gunmen. For some reason, they decided to release him, dumping him in Tar's Sunni neighborhood. The old man was terrified. Tar, in turn, says he was terrified the insurgents may have followed the old man and would punish Tar for helping him. Nonetheless, Tar and a friend drove him as close as they could to a Shiite neighborhood, which was then controlled by Shiite militias.
There is checkpoint in front of us. We can't drive more. He go out from the car, he kisses me. Thanks a lot. We go back.
Tar's wife is Shiite. She was also in danger from Sunni extremists. And then there was the Shiite threat. The militias had trouble getting inside Al-Hadra, but they shelled the area, destroying houses. They repeatedly targeted the local school. It all but shut down. Tar decided to send his wife and three children to Syria.
If something happened to them, really, I will not forgive myself. The only solution is to take them outside Iraq.
He sold everything he could at a huge loss, his car, the family gold, appliances. He would even have sold his house if he could.
But no one wants to buy.
He's running out of money. He doesn't know how much longer he can support his family in Syria. He isn't sure it's safe enough for them to come home yet. While he credits the U.S. troop surge with improving security, albeit late in the day, he says the Iraqi government has done nothing.
We never see anything. Our government is not serious. It is a sectarian government, 100%. Nobody can change this.
While he was ambivalent at best when U.S. troops came in, Tara is now terrified they will leave. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.
And you can find more of Anne Garrels' stories from Iraq, as well as her personal observations from 5 years of reporting from there, at our website, npr.org.